Will you join me in a word of prayer as we now look to the preaching of God's word? Father, we thank you this morning as we just sang that even though this life at times is difficult, weak and helpless, and we feel like Satan is winning, Father, at the very end there, we said at the end, when the race is complete, and we know that our time here on earth is done with you for all eternity. And Father, we thank you that as we walk through this life, Father, we don't walk in our own strength, yet, but through Christ in me. Father, that is the source of our strength. That is the source of our power. That is the source of our victory. That is the source of our hope. That is the source of our security. It is in Christ and Christ alone. And Father, we praise you, glorious truth. Lord, I pray this morning as we look to your word. Father, I pray that we would rejoice this morning, that we would be strengthened this morning. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged this morning as we look to this glorious passage from Paul about putting on the armor of God. Father, how wonderful it is for us to know that there is armor for the battle, that we don't have to go into the battle with strength, with our wisdom, with our power, but with the armor of Almighty God protecting us as we walk through. Father, help us to hear this morning what your word has to say. Help us to pay careful attention to every word of Scripture. And by the power of your Spirit, Lord, may it transform us and strengthen us to be victorious as we walk through this life. Father, bless now this time. May your Spirit work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And as you're turning there, Ephesians chapter 6, I'll share with you very quickly what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. In July, beginning the first Sunday of July, we're going to start a four-week sermon series on soteriology. And that's a big fancy word for the study of salvation. And we're going to be digging deep, taking four sermons to look specifically at the four pillars of our salvation. And the Bible teaches that our salvation is held up by four truths, which is election, glorification, sanctification, and justification. Those are four pillars of our salvation taught throughout Scripture, and I want us to look at those over the month of July. And we're going to have two guest speakers who are coming in who are at least academically a little higher than I am. They have doctorates and master's degrees in biblical theology, and I cannot wait to hear them come and share the Word of God with you. So be looking forward to that. And then the first week of August, we're going to get back into our study through 1 Timothy. And we're going to continue to walk through that book. So a little bit of an unusual time for our church because usually we walk through books, but we've been doing a lot of bouncing around here and there. But in August, we'll be on track with 1 Timothy. So I know that'll be a blessing, and I hope that you're looking forward to that because I know I am. So this morning, we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read beginning in verse 10. And we're going to go just to verse 13 for right now. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power and strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present age, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. As we begin to look at our text this morning, which will run through verse 17, I want to point something out right off the bat, and that is there are five imperatives in our text this morning. That is five commands, five no options, but this is what God requires of you from the Apostle Paul. The first is found in verse 10 where he says, be strong. That's a command. We as Christians are called to be strong. In verse 11, the second is put on the whole armor of God. Again, that's not an option, but that is a command for the believer. In verse 13, we're commanded to take up the armor of God. In verse 14, we're called to stand. And then in verse 17, we're called to take the helmet of salvation. There are five commands that the Apostle Paul gives us this morning. And as we look at our text, what I want you to understand this morning, church, is that we need to pay attention. We need to listen to the Word of God this morning. Because the Word of God is giving us commands, things that we must do as believers. And the context of these commands is in a battlefield. And we have, as it were, Paul acting as a general who is ordering soldiers in how to win a battle that they're about to face. So he tells us here to be strong, to put on, to take up, and to stand in this battle against evil. And I want you, church, to listen this morning to the Word of God, because there are some of you this morning that may be wrestling with joy, may be wrestling with sin, may be wrestling with actually having a fruitful, effective Christian walk with Jesus Christ. And you're trying all these things, you're reading all these books, you're listening to all these preachers, but you just can't seem to find any type of stability, and you always seem to be succumbing to the temptations of the evil one. Beloved, this morning, Paul gives us the armor that will give us victory in the battle. And how precious it is for us to know this morning that we can have victory. It's not something that we can hope to have. It's not something that we might have. Paul tells us here, if we put on the armor of God, you will be able to stand against the devil. And that, beloved, is encouraging this morning. As you've heard me say many times, as Christians, we are constantly under attack from the unholy Trinity, the lures of the world, the fallenness of our flesh, and the attacks of sin and hell. Every single day, we battle the flesh, the world, and the devil. And Paul tells us here, you don't stand alone and you don't stand defenseless. There is armor, and it is the armor of God. So the first thing he tells us, looking back there at verse 10, is this. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Now notice once again that this is a command. This is something that we must be doing. Notice that it's in the present tense, which means this is something that we as believers are to do daily. Every single day, we are to be strong as Christians as we fight against evil. But the question this morning is, whose strength is he talking about here? Because my strength fails. My flesh is weak. And I know that many times I fall. But notice the command. This command isn't to be strong in yourself. This command isn't to find strength in yourself. This command isn't to find strength in the world or from some book or some person or some preacher or somebody. This command is to be strong in what? The Lord, because that is where we find our strength, church. That is where we find our power to defeat Satan and to conquer the temptations and the trials that come our way. If we try to walk this life in our own strength, if we try to face the temptations and the forces of hell that would try to bring us down in our own strength and in our own wisdom, we will fall. But Paul says here, you be strong, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, and in the strength of his might. That is where we find our strength. Now the question this morning is, okay, I get that. Find my strength in the Lord, but how do I do that? What does that mean to find my strength in the Lord? Turn back with me to chapter 3. of Ephesians. Paul spoke of this earlier on. Ephesians chapter 3, look in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. How? Through his what? Spirit in your inner being. How are we strengthened in the Lord? By the Holy Spirit. Turn with me over to chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul establishes that our strength comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be strengthened in the Lord. But look at chapter 5, verse 18. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with what? The Spirit. The word filled there in the Greek refers to being controlled by something. And you notice the parallel there. When you get drunk with wine, you are under the control of the alcohol. So he's saying, just like that, the opposite is be under complete control of the Holy Spirit. The word filled in the Greek refers to wind that pushes a boat, that fills the sails of a boat and pushes it in that direction. So he's saying here, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control your every move. Let him push you in the direction that he wants you to go as you walk this life. So one of the ways that we are strengthened in the Lord is through the Holy Spirit. He gives us strength. He works in us, and he works through his word. So Paul tells us this morning, be strengthened in the Lord. Back in chapter 3 and chapter 5, he says one of the ways you're strengthened is by the Holy Spirit. And we know that every believer has the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And it's with this strength from the Spirit that Paul can say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who what? Gives me strength. Our strength comes from the Lord, from the Spirit of God that is at work within us. So the first thing we have to acknowledge this morning, church, is that we have to find our strength in the Lord, which means we have to find ourselves on our knees praying to God. We must find ourselves reading the Word of God, as we're going to see here in just a couple of moments. The Holy Spirit works through his word. And as we come before him humbly in prayer, as we come before him seeking him, he will strengthen us for the battle that lies ahead. Beloved, if we're not relying on the Spirit, if we're not relying on the word of God, if we're trying to walk the Christian life saying, I know enough, and I know enough just to get through each and every day, we're like a toddler that's sent out into a battlefield. What good is a young child going to do against an army? Absolutely nothing. But if you put a man in the battlefield and you arm him and give him weapons to defend himself, now he's become a foe that you want to be careful to tamper with. We must find ourselves first seeking the strength of the Holy Spirit to work within us. But there is a second way that we are strengthened. Not only are we strengthened by the Holy Spirit, but we are strengthened by putting on the armor of God. And that is what Paul's focus is on here in verse 11. The first command is to be strong. The second command tells us how to be strong. In the Lord, by what? By putting on the whole armor of God. That word put on in the Greek means to clothe yourself, literally to put on clothes. So just as you wake up and dress yourself in the morning to go about your day, so you are to dress yourself with the armor of God as you go through your day. At any point in the day, outside of your home, do you ever, let me remove all my clothing? No, they didn't think that either. Put on your clothes for the day. Put on the armor of God and don't even think about taking it off. From the moment you rise to the moment you go to sleep, Satan and the world and your flesh are going to be pulling you away from Christ. And you need this armor. So he says, clothe yourself with the whole armor of God. And I love that they put the word whole in there. It's one word in the Greek. Whole armor is one word, and it literally means the complete equipment of a heavily armed soldier. That's what it refers to. The complete equipment of a heavily armed soldier. And beloved, when you put on the armor of God, you have the best armor available. You have heavy duty armor that can withstand the attacks of the evil one. So notice that Paul isn't being very specific here. He doesn't tell us what the armor is until we get to verse 14. Right now, all he's doing is he's saying, here's what you need to do, and here's how you do it. Be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God. But you may be asking yourself, why do I need to do this? Why do I need to do this? Look what he says there at the second part of verse 11. That little word means there's a purpose statement coming. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. And beloved, look at that word stand there. Look at that word able there. Look at that word you there. You have the ability to resist the devil. Satan cannot come against you with some temptation that you just can't overcome. Because what you're saying is God isn't strong enough and his armor is weak. Paul says here, that you may be able, in the Greek, possess the capability to stand, which means to resist. You will have, this is a promise from God, you will have the ability to resist the attacks of Satan if you put on the armor of God. If you're wrestling with sin, if you're struggling with temptation, if you just can't seem to find victory, ask yourself this morning, am I putting on the armor of God? And there are six elements that we're going to be looking at. But do you see how Paul is building up this point? Essentially, he's saying this. We need to be strengthened in the Lord, verse 10, by putting on the armor of the Lord, verse 11, so that you can stand with the Lord to resist the devil. That's the idea here. Be strengthened in the Lord by putting on the armor of the Lord so that you can stand with the Lord and resist the devil. And why do we need to do that? Why do we need the Lord's armor? Because it's spiritual armor. Look at verse 12. For, he's building on his previous point, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Very simply put, verse 12 is talking about all spiritual forces. Those are three or four different terms that are all referring to the spiritual forces of evil that surround us. You know, and as I read that, I saw that term, the cosmic powers. And I thought to myself, who in the world am I, alone, without Christ? What am I going to do against cosmic powers of darkness? Remember, beloved, that Satan and his demons are fallen, what? Angels. And angels are a lot more powerful than you or me. You read the Old Testament, you see how God used angels. They were very powerful beings. You look at how Satan had the power to kill people in Job's life. He even had the power to inflict illness on Job. I don't know about you, but I can't go to someone and cause them to have an illness. Satan can do it if God allows him. He has power, beloved. And if you try to face him with your strength, you're going to fail. But if you face him with Christ, he has no hope whatsoever. So verse 12, Paul says this, look, you need to find your strength in the Lord by putting on the armor of the Lord, because listen, church, it is a spiritual battle that we are facing. Whatever sin you are dealing with, remember, it's beyond the physical. There is a spiritual tension there that is drawing you away from Christ to just take in whatever sin you're indulging in. That's why I've heard many stories of people who say, you know what, I'm struggling with this, so I just threw that away. Maybe it's watching certain movies or playing video games or whatever. And, you know, I hear stories of Christians who say, I took all these CDs or all these DVDs and I just threw them away. I just got rid of it. And then 6 months later, then I started buying them again. Why? Because the physical thing wasn't the issue. It's the heart. There's a spiritual battle there. And if you don't change the heart in the mind, the physical will just come back. And it'll keep coming back. Until your heart and mind are prepared for battle, you will continue to fall into the clutches of Satan. Paul says here, church, it is a spiritual battle. So we must don the spiritual armor. In verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now look at verse 13. He says it again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Two times he says the same thing. Put on the whole armor of God. But notice here he uses a different word. In verse 11, he says put on. Again, that's like putting on clothing. But look at there in verse 13. He says, therefore, take up. That word take up means to pick up in order to carry. In other words, you're not just picking something up and then putting it down. You're picking it up to carry it somewhere. So the idea here is pick up the armor of God and live with it. Don't put it down. Pick it up and walk the Christian life with it. The idea is pick up the armor, not to put it down again. Live and walk the Christian life with the armor of God at your side. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's referring to when Satan comes against you and he attacks you. That's the evil day. It's different for all of us. We're not all tempted at the same time. We're not all tempted in the same way. Satan attacks us at different points and different times in our lives. So whatever time he attacks you, that is the evil day that he is referring to here. So when he comes against you and you feel that temptation and you feel the attack of Satan, he says, having done all to stand firm. When you put on the armor of God, he says it again, you will stand firm. And then look at verse 14. The first word is what? Stand. Three times he says the word stand. Stand, stand, stand. It means resist, resist, resist. And that word withstand in verse 13 refers to resisting power from an opponent. So literally, there's two ways that we resist the devil. In verse 11, we are able to stand against his schemes. That is the plans of Satan. Satan has plans. Satan has a strategy to bring you down, just like he did with Eve. He didn't just come at Eve and say, hey, eat the fruit, right? No, he deceived her. He had a strategy. He had a plan. He had a way to manipulate her so that she would fall. He does the same with you, beloved. He has plans to bring you down. He has strategies. He thinks carefully about how can I bring this person down? He studies you. So the first way we have to resist the devil by putting on the armor of God is we resist the plans and strategies he comes against us with. But the second way, again in verse 13, that word withstand refers to power. And I already mentioned that. Satan has power. He has power as much as God allows him to have. And again, we see that with Job. So donning on the armor of God allows us to resist the plans of Satan that would bring us down and also the power of Satan that would try to bring us down. There are two fronts that he fights on that the armor of God protects us, and we need to be aware of both this morning. So now, with that as my 22-minute introduction, we get into the sermon for this morning. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Roman soldiers used the belt to tighten everything down and hold it in place. That's the purpose of the belt. Their cloak that came down, they would put a belt around and they would tighten it so everything was tightened down. You don't want stuff flapping around when you're in battle. They also would use it to put the sheath where their sword went in. So you want that to be secured. So Paul begins here by telling us the Christian life, when we're fighting against Satan, number one, it must be held together. It must be tightened down. And the question is, how? By what? With what do we tighten down our life as Christians? And the answer is with the truth. The truth. Essentially, what Paul is telling us here is that our lives as Christians must be grounded in truth. And that is why he begins here. Because truth is absolutely essential for the believer to have victory in this life. Think about your life as a Christian. Everything you hope for, everything you hold to in Christ and the truth of his promise and salvation and being justified and forgiven and everything he's told you in his word, it's all based on what? The fact that you believe this is true. That's where we have to start. Because if we don't have truth, Satan can flood us with lies. And as long as he can flood us with lies, we'll be confused and we'll be helpless in the battle. So Paul says, look, the Christian life begins with this. You must be grounded in truth. Because the truth of God's word helps us to identify the sin in our lives. It helps us to reveal the lies of the devil when he comes against us. It enables us to know who God is and what his will is for our lives. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the word of God sheds light. The word of God gives us direction. And if we don't have the truth, we're going to be lost. So Paul says the first piece of armor in the battle against Satan is putting on truth. So just as the soldier, so the believer's life must be held together by truth. And beloved, you only need to look at the news for 5 to 10 minutes to know that Satan is doing his very best to twist the truth from every channel you can go to. It's so hard to find the truth, isn't it? Even outside the Word of God. It seems almost hopeless. Everybody has a different spin and a different take on something. But I praise God that I can come to the Word of God and know that I will get the truth. Let me just say this before we move on to the next point. In order for us to be held together by the truth, listen, we have to understand and know the truth. Here's what I mean by that. If we're just reading the Word of God every day, then closing our Bibles and walking away and not having learned anything or understood what we read, what is that going to do for you? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the greatest preachers I believe who ever lived, said, we as believers, listen, must move beyond the words to the doctrine and the truth. You see, the words of God are holding a treasure that we have to pull out. And if my idea of growing in Christ is just reading the Bible, but not actually studying it and understanding it, but just reading it because, you know, I got to read it. That's what Christians do. You're never going to grow. You're not going to have victory. Your growth will be so minute. It would be like you going on the computer and printing out a picture of a steak and then eating the paper and saying, that was a delicious steak. Right? What's that going to do? You got to have the actual substance. And if we're just reading the Word of God, but we're not taking the time to say, wait a second, God, what are you actually saying here? What are you teaching me here? What are the principles that you are teaching me here? What is this teaching me about God, about my salvation, about Christ, about how to love you, about how to love others, about how to walk as a Christian? If we're not taking seriously the Word of God and our time to actually study it, then we're going to fall desperately short of Paul's first point. It's not simply just to have the truth floating in your mind without any understanding. It's to have the truth knowing what it means so that you can cling to it when Satan attacks. second piece of armor that Paul has for us this morning. Having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Roman soldiers used the breastplate to protect their body, their organs, and their heart. As a matter of fact, one ancient historian writing before the time of Christ, Polybius, said that the breastplate for the Roman soldier was known as the heart protector. It protects all the vital parts of the organs, all the vital parts of the body. You can maybe take a shot to the leg or to the arm, but you take a shot to the heart and that's serious. You take a shot to one of your lungs or one of your internal organs, that is very serious. So this is that big piece of armor that defends your body and all the critical parts of your body as a soldier. And as we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 59, God puts on righteousness as a breastplate and salvation as a helmet as he is moved to execute his judgment and salvation against this world. In other words, it is the righteousness and the salvation of God that moves him to action. What God does is based off of his righteousness, who he is, his character. And that is what Paul is doing here. He's taking that passage from Isaiah 59 and he's saying, you, believer, are to be righteous. Your life as a Christian, your walk with God, you living for Christ is an attack against Satan. Paul talks about this in Romans 12:21. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. How do you overcome evil? That word overcome in the Greek means to vanquish. How do you vanquish evil? With good. And when Satan comes and he attacks you as a Christian, your righteousness, the fruits that you bear as a believer, are an affront to Satan. This is spoken of in 1 Peter. It's spoken of when Paul talks to Timothy and he has people in the church who are attacking him. He doesn't say, you attack back with words. He says, let your conduct, your righteousness, live and speak louder than the attacks that are coming against you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says, having a good conscience. That term good conscience means you're living a godly life, because when you sin, your conscience convicts you. So he says, having a good conscience, having a godly life, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Those who speak evil against you will be put to shame. How? By your godly lifestyle and your godly conduct. The words of evil men fall flat on their face at the feet of a righteous man who is living for the Lord. Now, obviously, our righteousness can't save us, and obviously the righteousness of Christ is what we are ultimately rooted in, the justification from the finished work of Christ. But what Paul is referring to here specifically is at the fruit we bear as Christians. When we are living a godly life, that is an attack against Satan, or defense against his attacks. One commentator says this, I love this. This means living in daily, moment-by-moment obedience to our Heavenly Father. That's what it means to put on the breastplate of righteousness. To live in daily, moment-by-moment obedience to the Father. What can Satan do with that? What is he going to do to someone who is totally committed to living in obedience to God? You see, so it is a defense against him. I'll end with this. It says, take every thought captive, what? To obey Christ. Live a godly life. Pursue Christ and live in daily obedience to the Father. And that, beloved, is armor against the evil one. The third element that we have this morning, in verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Once again, we must look to the Roman soldier. Roman soldiers used boots for several reasons. It protected them from rocks and rough terrain and other hazards that you may be walking on as you're marching with the unit. It gave stability during combat. Some of the boots that the Romans wear, they actually put little pieces of metal in the boots to give them traction for when they were walking. And you can think of just how important that would be, especially when you're in battle. You don't want your feet slipping. You don't know what kind of terrain you're going to be in. So we're called here, notice he says, to put on the readiness. That word means to be prepared, literally preparedness. And the idea here is that as we walk and come under attack, we must have our feet firmly planted. Again, think about being in combat, but your feet not being firmly planted. How good would you be able to fight if you were on ice with your shoes? You'd be slipping and sliding all over the place. You'd be completely defenseless. So the idea is here is as we walk the Christian life, we have to be firmly planted. And the question is, firmly planted in what? What gives us stability as Christians? Notice, the gospel of peace. And I love that he doesn't just say the gospel. He says the gospel of peace because it is through the gospel that we have peace with God. Back in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that's the gospel, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is Christ taking our debt, Christ taking our payment, our sin on himself, and when we place our faith in him, he gives us his righteousness in return, and that righteousness enables us to have peace with God. Can you think of a better piece of armor for being stable in this life? Paul says, you want to be stable in the fight? Remember the gospel. Remember what Christ did for you. Because the gospel reminds us of God's grace. It reminds us of God's love. It reminds us of our relationship that has been restored through the cross. It reminds us that God is our friend and not our enemy. It reminds us that we are now children of God. It reminds us that there's no guilt or accusation that stands against us. And as Paul says here, it reminds us that we have peace. We're no longer at war with God. In Leviticus chapter 3, we saw this a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, the peace offering. There are five offerings in Leviticus. Only one offering, only one of the offerings was actually eaten by the one who brought it. And it was the peace offering. Why? Because the peace offering symbolized eating at the table with God, which symbolized fellowship with God. They got to eat symbolically with the Lord. They offered it up to the Lord, and then a portion was for them and their family. That's the peace offering. We're literally dining with God because we're a part of his family. And this is all because of the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done. So here's the point. Just as the soldiers' boots offered him protection and stability, so the Christian armed with the gospel truth will remain protected and stable when the evil one attacks. One commentator says this, in order to stand firm, the soldier must have a secure footing. And in the Christian's case, it is the gospel. The next piece of armor we have is in verse 16. Notice how it begins. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I love the way this is in the Greek. In the Greek, it reads, in all, take the shield of faith. In all, take the shield, faith. The word all means in every situation, in all of life, in everything you do, your whole entire life as a Christian, you must take up faith as you walk. And the faith here is not faith that leads to salvation. He's already talking to believers. They've already placed their faith and trust in God for their salvation. This is just faith in the sense of trusting God, having faith in God, in who he is, and just knowing that he's in control and that he's watching over you. You see, once we place our faith in the finished work of Christ, we now have to continue to live in faith, trusting God that he's actually taking care of us and watching over us and carrying us through to the end. In every moment of every day, Paul is calling us to pick up and carry the shield of total trust and confidence in God, no matter the circumstances. And I tell you, beloved, in my life, the strongest Christians that I've seen, that I've experienced personally, are those who go through the most horrifying and tragic imaginable times in their life, yet through those times, they say, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. Their world is collapsing around them, yet they say, I will trust the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about here. Satan may do whatever God allows him to do to make you feel so uncertain of God's love towards you, or God's sovereignty over your life, or God's power to watch over you. But beloved, when you start to feel those waves of doubt coming upon you because Satan is working around you, you cling to this truth and you say, God is worthy of every ounce of faith and confidence that I possess, no matter the circumstances that I find myself in. In Psalm chapter 56, verse 3, we read these words from the psalmist. Psalm 56, verse 3. If I can get there. When I am afraid, finish it, I put my trust in you. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You see, when we're afraid, when we're fearful, when we're doubting, when the ground seems to be falling from underneath our feet, what do? We don't run from God, we trust in God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. What does the righteous man do? He runs to God because he knows that in the difficult times and the difficult circumstances and the uncertainty of life, God is a strong tower that cannot be moved or brought down. And the righteous man, the proverb says, runs to him, running to that tower of refuge. Just to make this point even more clear, Paul is drawing this specific analogy. If you look at the last part of verse 16, he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. What does that mean? Well, back in that time, one of the ways, one of the tactics during battle was the enemy would fire flaming arrows at the approaching army. And what those arrows would do is they would stick to the wooden shields, and the shields would catch on fire. Some shields had a special oil that would douse it, but if you didn't, your shield would catch on fire. And then what would happen? You'd get scared, and you'd throw your shield down, and then you'd be in panic and confusion. Now you're defenseless, and you got these arrows coming. And the idea here is Satan is going to launch attacks on your life that would cause you to be fearful, that would cause you to panic and be confused and just be like, what's going on? And that's how he gets you to lose hope and faith and trust in God. And Paul says, whenever you feel confused, when you're afraid, pick up that shield of faith. Protect yourself from those arrows and say, God is a strong tower and I will put my trust in him. I don't care what you're trying to do, Satan. My confidence in God will not be shaken. We must pick up that shield of faith in order to extinguish those flaming darts. Verse 17, we're almost done. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. In this case, it's referring to the mind. The mind. And salvation refers to knowing that we are his, that we've been saved, that we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the ways Satan attacks you is he at times causes you to think or believe that you're not saved. Maybe you fell into some sin or something and you're seeking repentance and Satan is just saying, nope, you're not the Lord's. Nope, you can't come to him. Nope, you're not his. See, that's the idea here, is that one of the deadly attacks of Satan is causing the believer who has all the hope and assurance in Jesus Christ for the salvation of his soul, the finished work of Christ. Christ rose from the dead. That is an affirmation that we will one day rise, that the Father accepted his payment. That's the hope that we have. Christ rose, so we will. But Satan brings in doubt and he says, well, maybe this really isn't true. Maybe you're really not saved. Maybe you're really not the Lord's. Maybe his sacrifice isn't enough for you. Maybe your sin was too great and you think you can turn from it, but no, you can't. The blood of the cross isn't power enough to cover your sin. You see, and he brings these waves of attack that would try to draw us to doubt the assurance of the finished work of Jesus Christ in our life. When these attacks come, beloved, think of texts like 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you that believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, you don't hope for it. You know. In John chapter 10, verses 28 through 29, this is probably one of the most precious texts in all of Scripture that speak to the assurance of salvation. Jesus says, I give them, referring to believers, I give them eternal life. Listen to this. Or perish. That is a promise from Christ. I give you life and you will never perish. Again, he's speaking spiritually there. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Not only does Christ guard our salvation, look at this, verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Christ says, look, I died for you, I paid your price, and when you come to me, your salvation is sure, it's fixed, it will never be lost. And the Father as well, who is greater than all. In other words, Christ is saying, nobody is more powerful than God, and the Father is the one that is holding your salvation safely in his hands. So the point here is this: defend yourself with knowledge of the truth regarding your salvation, and don't let Satan cause you to doubt. Finally, we come. We're finally here. The last point, the sword of the Spirit. Roman soldiers used the sword for two reasons, both the offense and also for defense. Now remember, the context is established in verse 11 and 13. The sword isn't something that we pick up to go run and fight against Satan with, in the sense of, you hear sometimes believers crying out to Satan, literally saying, Satan, I'm going to do this and I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We don't do that. Don't talk to Satan. Don't talk to demons. You talk to God and he'll take care of the battle. Here he's saying, you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. When Satan tries to plan his little strategies to cause you to fall, you take that sword and you break down that stronghold. When you see that temptation, when you see that sin, maybe there's an idol in your life. What do? You take the Word of God, where John says at the end of his epistle, 1 John, he says, do not have idols. Keep away from idols. So you take that truth as a sword, and when you see something in your life that is hindering you in your walk with God and is affecting you as a godly husband or a godly wife or a godly spouse or whatever, you take the Word of God and you remove that stronghold. That's how we attack Satan. When we see him planning, when we see him trying to do things that would cause us to fall, we take the Word of God and we remove those things from our life. The Word of God is a powerful sword. Hebrews tells us it's a double-edged sword, right? We use it for the offense to destroy those strongholds and those strategies of Satan that would try to cause us to fall, but we also use it to defend ourselves from Satan. And we already built on this point with the helmet of salvation. When he attacks you, you cling to the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, and that parries the attacks of Satan that come against you. We need the truth. We must know it and learn it and grow in it and meditate on it and memorize it. What good is a sword if you don't know how to use it? But if I give you a sword and you train every single day, year after year after year after year, in a couple of years, you're going to be someone that I am not going to want to get in a sword fight with. Right? But if I give you a sword and you put it on the bookshelf and you never touch it, how good are you going to be with that weapon? It's not enough for us to have four or five Bibles sitting on every desk in our home if we never open it and learn it and read it. He says, you pick up that sword and you use it to attack Satan. So the final point this morning is this. Believers are called to arm themselves with the word of God in the battle against Satan. Notice something very interesting, and I just thought of this morning when I woke up. I was thinking about my text, and I said, the first thing Paul says to put on is the belt of what? Truth. And the word of God is what? Truth. He begins with truth, and he ends with truth. Our lives must be governed and controlled and saturated in the truth of God's word. If we don't have truth, if we don't know the truth, we are all but defenseless against the evil one. The faith is rooted in the truth, is it not? The gospel we know because of the truth. We learn the gospel from the word of God. You see, all these elements are rooted and drawn from the truth of God's word. That's how important it is. Let me close, and I promise this is the last thing I'm going to say. Scottish pastor Thomas Guthrie said, "The Bible is an armory of heavenly weapons, a laboratory of infallible medicines, a mine of exhaustless wealth. It is a guidebook for every road, a chart for every sea, a medicine for every ailment, and a balm for every wound. Rob us of our Bible and our sky has lost its sun." I hope the word of God is as precious to you as it should be, beloved. And I hope that you will take these six principles each and every day and put on the armor of God so that you can have victory as you walk through this life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, by the power of your Spirit, I pray that you would hold our lives together by grounding us in your truth. Give us strength to live godly lives that display the righteousness of Christ and to overcome evil with good. Help us to take each step as we walk through this life in your grace, armed with the precious gospel and knowing that we who are in Christ have peace with God. Give us the power to trust you completely, with all confidence and faith, for you are faithful to the end. Saturate our minds, Lord, with the eternal hope and security of our salvation, which was purchased by Christ and eternally secured by the Father. And finally, Lord, I pray this morning that you would give us a desire and a hunger for the Word of God. Pour out your wisdom upon us, so that we may know your truth and wield it against all the forces of evil that would come against us. Thank you, Lord, that we do not stand alone. Thank you that we have power through your Spirit. And thank you that we have armor for the battle. For it's in the matchless name of Jesus Christ we pray. We love you, Lord.